I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. And I'll be reading from verse 17 down to verse 21. Judges chapter 7. Verse number 15, the Bible says, "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled." Let us pray. Every Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. We thank you for the privilege we have to hear from you. Dear Lord, we are a needy people, but we're thankful that your word does the job and is able to guide us into your will. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that even in difficulty and in challenging times, that because of your strength, we can press on. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage hearts and to strengthen your people. And I pray that if there's someone here under the sound of my voice who does not know you as his or her personal Lord and Savior, that that one would come to know you and know the joys of sin forgiven. Recognize that even in a difficult world that's plagued by sin, that we can be victorious. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give me the words you'll have me to say. Empty me of self, cleanse me of sin, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit, and may lost souls be saved, may believers be challenged to take a closer walk with you, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. As a teenager, growing up, one of my favorite extracurricular activities was being a part of the Cadet Corps. One of the highlights of being a cadet for pretty much all of us, and I'm sure I can speak for all of those who've been in the Cadet Corps, was participating in parades. One of the highlights was the Independence Parade that we know is celebrated here in our Federation on September 19th each and every year. And one of the things of being in a parade, you get a chance to put on your ceremonial best uniform and you shine up your boots and you make sure everything is crisp and proper. Why? Because you are going to be on display representing your unit. The parade itself was a time of precision. It's a time of where there's a priority for every unit, every organization represented is working together to be the very best that they can be. Being in the cadets and being out there, sometimes the sun is hot or whether it's raining or whatever, you pride yourself in still being what you're going to be and doing what you're supposed to do. You must ensure that your ranks are perfectly aligned, making sure that when you're marching, everyone can see that you are together. No one is out of line. But one of the things that I can reflect on as I think back and reflect on those days is that even though you wanted your unit to be well represented and you wanted to everything to work out well and for you to do everything perfectly, you had to take responsibility to do one thing, and that is to stand in your place, to march in your place. As much as you wanted your unit to look well, you had to take responsibility for yourself. I find a similar reference made here in the book of Judges, chapter 8, and I want to draw your attention to chapter 7, rather, and I want to draw your attention to verse number 21. And we'll be able to look at the background to this story, but I want you to look at verse 21 as I read it again, as we ended the reading here with this verse. And it says, "And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp." Every man in his place. As I see this statement and I reflect and I think about the parallels that can be drawn in the Christian life in which we live today, we have the privilege of being a part of a local church. Make no mistake about it, the Church of the Living God, it's not man's program, it is God's program. Amen? It was established by none other than Jesus Christ himself. And if you're a member of a church that is seeking to do God's will, a New Testament church that's based on the principles of the Word of God, you have a vested interest in that church accomplishing what God has called it to do. We're part of a team. We're part of a unit that guides God's presence, his provision, his power. But in order for the Church of the Living God to accomplish what God has in store for it to do, every single person must embrace the mindset that I must stand in my place. Amen? I have a role. I have a responsibility. I have a position, a specific place to be. And if we're going to have the success that we desire, every single person, without exception, is going to have this mindset. It's a mindset that I must do my part. Amen? Oftentimes, you hear the lament and you hear the refrain, why are you not doing what you're supposed to do? Well, man, I saw this person over there and they said something to me and I didn't like what they did. And we get sidetracked at times. This person made me feel a particular way. But I submit to you this morning that so many problems and so many concerns would take care of themselves if each and every person stood in his place. Amen. And I want to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, Standing in Your Place. Standing in your place. There's a mindset that goes along with this kind of thinking that I must do my part in order for things to go the way that they should. I want to be able to look at this passage here in Judges chapter 7 and the background to this story that led to this amazing victory that took place in the book of Judges, where every man stood in his place. The first thing I want you to notice, and if you're taking notes, you can jot down, first of all, that there was a strong adversary. A strong adversary. Look back with me in chapter 6 of Judges, and you can see here that the people of Midian had attacked the children of Israel. They were under great oppression. Speaking of the children of Israel. Look at me with me in chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And it was so when Israel had sown that the Midianites came upon the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. The Midianites were oppressive in nature. And as a result, the children of Israel were forced to retreat. They had no mercy on the children of Israel. And not only that, they had joined with common enemies of the children of Israel, and they had formed alliances against Israel. Isn't it interesting that when people are common enemies, that even though they don't have much in common, when they have a common opponent, they come together and form alliances? Such was the nature of this dire situation which the children of Israel found themselves in. Mark you, they were in this position because of their sin. But the Midianites and the alliances have formed a very strong adversary. But notice, secondly, the seeking of assistance. This oppressive state in which they found themselves caused them to cry out to the Lord. Verse number 6, latter part, 6b, and it says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They couldn't take it anymore. They said, I can't deal with this oppressive situation. And they cried out unto the Lord. I want to draw your attention as well, however, that these children of Israel had found themselves in a vicious cycle. If you're familiar with the book of Judges, you would know that they had found themselves, unlike in the book of Joshua, where they had wholly followed the Lord, they were now doing what was right in their own eyes. And they would sin and they would turn against God. And then they would find themselves under oppression or in captivity or under the hand of some enemy of Almighty God. Then they would cry unto the Lord. God would deliver them via a judge. And then things get well for a number of years, and then they find themselves in this cycle over and over. And here it is in chapter 6. They found themselves with their backs up against the wall. You know, sometimes God allows us to find ourselves in difficult situations when we've turned away from Him so that we can cry out to Him. It's sad that He has to resort to that at times. But they found themselves in this situation, and they sought the assistance. How much better would it be if we don't wait for these things to happen to turn unto the Lord? But God uses what He will to get our attention. Amen? Well, we find out here that the children of Israel, in desperation, cried out to the Lord. I want you to notice number 3, the sovereign's approach. Now, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. And in spite of the fact that they had been unfaithful to God, God has always been faithful to them. And so if you draw your attention to chapter 6 and verses 8 to 10, we're just recapping here, but they cried out to the Lord, and then the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, and He reminded them how they got here. God says, you're finding yourself in this difficult situation, a time of trials and tribulation. But I want to remind you how you got here. You got here because of your rejection of My law. You got here because of your sin. He says, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and I've done all these things for you. But you rejected the one true living God and turned to these false gods. But he reminded them of how they got there, but thank God he demonstrated his grace. And in verse number 11 down to verse number 16, God calls a man by the name of Gideon. And he says, Gideon, I want to put you in a position of leadership to be able to help these children of Israel to get out from under the hand of the Midianites. And oftentimes when God does something in the hearts of people, he calls an individual to do something about it. Amen? You look all throughout the scripture. The sovereign's approach is to place a burden and to call an individual and call a man to do something about it and to lead God's people from under the oppressive one. And for the sake of time, we don't have the time. And I trust that you're familiar with this story so that we can get to where we are in chapter 7. But God calls Gideon and he had some initial doubts. And he set a fleece and got the answer to his questions. We're not going to focus on that in this message. But he ultimately surrendered to the call of God upon his life in chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, he raises up and he seeks to select some individuals who would help go with him into battle. So in chapter 7 and verse number 1 to 7, summarizing here, we know that he got a number of men. Let's look at verse number 1. And the Bible says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all of the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand had saved me. Now, we're talking about the sovereign's approach. Now, here you have Gideon. He was initially apprehensive about taking on this vast enemy who was, the Bible says, too numerous to number, who was oppressing Israel in such a way that they cried out to the Lord. And he gathers these people together. And this is so evident of how God works. That here he has all these people thinking, I need as many as I possibly could to give me any chance to defeat the enemy. And when he brings these several thousands, as you read later in the chapter, God says to him, Gideon, you have too many. Now, if it were us, we would figure, God, we don't have enough. I mean, they have more than you could number, but rather than say to Gideon, Gideon, you don't have enough, God says, Gideon, you have too many. You know what that tells me about God's approach? He's not focused on numbers. He is not focused on numbers. The reason why God is not focused on numbers, brethren, because one plus God is majority. And so he tested Gideon, Gideon, you have too many. And so he finds a way of whittling down this large number. First of all, he says to them, listen, if you are afraid, the Midianites are just on the other side of this mountain. If you are afraid, go back home. And amazingly, I want you to see this. But it tells you that, listen, just because people are with you, don't mean that they want to be there. he says in verse number 3, proclaim in the ears of the people saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. Man, 2/3 of the people hightailed and went back home. Amazing. But God says, you still have too many. Well, well, well. No, and God engages Gideon and these people in a test. And commentators disagree on the individuals who were selected ultimately. We know that they went to the brook and there were some that kneeled and brought water up to their mouth, some that went down. Some disagree on which group ended up being the 300. Suffice it to say, God used the smaller group. Amen? And that smaller group ended up being 300 people. God says, now I got the group that I want. I have the group that are going to defeat this crowd of the Midianites. It tells me that when it comes to God's requirements and God's approach for accomplishing great things, that God is focused on those who are willing to battle with him without fear. Amen? He says, let the fearful return home. You know, sometimes, even as young people, you think that you need a bunch of friends. But what you need are the right friends. And oftentimes, when it comes to the right friends, let me suggest to you, the right friends are few in number. So if you figure, I got 20 friends, I submit to you that 90% of those are not good friends. Because good friends are not that easy to find. But that's another message. But God says, I need those whose heart are in it. Amen? I need those who are dedicated to the task. He said, the reason why I have to whittle down this number, some individuals in this group, they're looking for self-praise. They're the ones who did the least work, who are willing to, when victory is won, to come back and to beat themselves on the chest and say, look at what I have done. God's not impressed by numbers. He's looking for unity. He's looking for togetherness. He's looking for those who will depend upon him, and he can and will work with that. Amen? We notice the sovereign's approach. But I said all that as a backdrop, really, to help us to get to verse number 21. Now you understand the background on the story. I want you to notice number 4, the shared action. The shared action. Now, in verse number 21, it's very important to understand the subject and the verb in this verse. Because verse number 21 says, and they stood. Amen? Now, the subject in this verse, we know. I'm not pretending to teach an English class this morning. The subject is what? They. And the verb is stood. So when I read this verse, it tells me that the verb stood is referring to the subject people, the subject they, and it tells me that there is a collective action that took place, and it took place as a team. Amen? They stood. No individual names are mentioned in verse number 21 because the group of 300 men plus Gideon, they did it together. Amen? Team spirit is a critical component to success. Amen? They stood. It didn't say Gideon stood. I don't know the name of one of those 300 men, but what I know is they stood. Action. And every single one of those 300 men can know when they look at the pages of scripture, I was in the day. I know that don't sound too right, but they're in that group. We don't know who they are, but we know they stood. Amen. And as a church, may it be said of Shiloh that they stand for truth. Amen? May it be said of Shiloh that they stand for holiness. Amen? May it be said of Shiloh, they stand for righteousness. They stand for purity. They stand for love. They stand for sincerity. They stand for excellence. They stand for giving God their best. Amen? They stand. There's a shared action. But notice, fifthly, the specific assignment. The specific assignment. They stood every man. Every man. It requires that every single person is doing his or her part. Make no mistake about it. Every person has a role to play. Instead, they stood. There's a collective approach to that statement. But it says, it goes on, it says, every man. There's a specific responsibility and role to play. And oftentimes, sadly, the reason why there is not a shared action is because every person is not standing. Sometimes, and oftentimes, and almost sadly every time, while some are standing, some are sitting. While some are standing, some are sleeping. While some are standing, some are missing. But every single person is important. Every single person is required. There's a specific assignment. But notice as well the steadfast attitude. They stood, every man, in his place. Amen? The steadfast attitude is that I am focusing on my individual responsibility. I know that you have yours, but I have mine, and I must be in my place. Amen? Ownership. I must own my role. I can't. There's a point at which I simply cannot be distracted by what somebody else is doing or not doing. I have to do my part. Notice in the story how they surrounded the camp. They surrounded the entire camp. You know why they surrounded the entire camp? And what every person focused on, I have to be in my place. I can't allow the enemy to infiltrate here. This is a job that requires, listen, I know you're next to me. You got your spot. Listen, your spot is for your spot. And for you to prevent a particular, any infiltration. But I got my spot, and the only spot I can fill is my spot. And here's the good beauty about it. When everybody fills their spot, there's no area that can be infiltrated. But everybody has to have that mindset. I mean, now here's the amazing thing. I mean, this is not even all that deep. But sometimes we don't need the deep stuff. It's the simple stuff. Now, if I look over and I see somebody over there not filling their role and not doing their responsibility, and I decide that I'm going to do what they do, I'm making the situation worse. I mean, here it is. I'm in a quandary. I can't fill their spot and my spot. But if ever a time that I need to fill my place is when somebody else is not doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, that's not the time for me to drop out. That's the time for me to appeal to them. Man, stand in your place. You're putting me at risk. I have to be in my place. Make no mistake about it. Nobody can fill your role but you. Listen, I could try to do multiple roles and do seem like Superman, but nobody can fill your role but you. Amen? I have to be in my place. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Pursuit of God, writes, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be, were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. Simple principle there is, when we stand in our place, focusing on the Savior instead of each other, we are closer drawn together as a unit. Amen? Because we are focusing on the same goal. Steadfast attitude. Each man stood in his place. But notice finally the significant accomplishment. Because these 300 men, small in number, minuscule in number, listen, seemingly insignificant compared to the throngs of the armies of the Midianites, God wrought an amazing victory. Why? Because 300 men stood in their place. Look at the significant accomplishment in verse number 22. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel Meholah. Lord, help me. Unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. God showed up for his people. Amen. And here's the thing about it. When God shows up and good things begin to happen, here's what I love about it that happened in that story. People begin to jump on board. Man, let's go. Why? Because everybody loves a winner. Amen. They got some additional help. And God's people grow in confidence when they see what God can do in and through their lives. I tell you, great things can be accomplished in this church and in the lives of God's people when every single person stands in his place. His or her place. Why? Because God, I mean, you look all throughout the Bible. Has God ever been worried about how many people he had? Never. Why? Because God is able. God could use one person. He has used one person on multiple occasions. The beauty about it is that when we decide to stand in our place, we get an opportunity to get in on the action. Amen. We get to be a part and to see what God is doing. That's the exciting thing about it. And also a simple reminder for all of us that no one is indispensable. And the pastor is not indispensable down to the very last member. No one. God can get along without us. But I tell you this, I want to stand in my place because I want to see what God is doing. Amen. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And I want to be there from the beginning. I mean, it's nice to jump in after when things look bleak, when things look good. But it's nice to know when things were down and out and when God showed up, when I got to see the full thing. Amen? And those are the individuals who really grow in faith and realize it's not about my strength. It's not about my talents. It's not about what I can do and what I can't do. It's about what God is able to do, and he shows up time and time again. Amen? And that is why, even when we are weak, we can press on. We don't have to give up. No reason to give up because we are on the winning side. And so much can be accomplished in spite of size, spite of numbers. Because God's not focused on numbers. God wants to see a group of individuals, men, women, boys, and girls, who have made up in their minds, I will serve God. I will love the Lord. I will stand in my place. Good to have company. It's good to have other people who have like mind. But I can't stand in your place for you. I can't make you do what you should do. You can take to the water, but you can't make it drink. But I'm going to stand in my place. Amen. And watch God work. Amen. Are you in?
Amen.
I would love for you to be in. But whether you're in or not is not contingent on whether I'm in. I'm going to stand in my place. And if we can all have that mindset to stand in our place together, watch God do great and mighty things for his honor and for his glory.